Hello today. We're diving into the Think Pair Share routine and its many classroom variants. Lisa, I think this is a staple in modern classrooms, isn't it?
Absolutely, James. Think Pair Share, or TPS as it's often called, is such a reliable way to get students actively thinking, talking, and then sharing their ideas with the whole class. It's so much more than just a quick chat with your neighbour.
Right. At its core, TPS is about making student thinking visible and accountable. The idea is to get every student to first think individually, then discuss their thinking with a partner, and finally share the product of that discussion with the whole class. But the trick is in how you structure each phase.
Exactly. And the design really matters if you want to get useful written records, efficient sharing, and genuine student engagement. For example, in the think phase, you might prompt students with something like, "Take 90 seconds to write your answer and one sentence explaining your reasoning. Keep that private for now." It gives everyone a chance to form their own idea before getting influenced by their peers.
And then, in the pair phase, students get a few minutes to compare answers, ask clarifying questions, and come up with a single improved response. I love the idea of giving roles, like speaker A, speaker B, and recorder, and rotating those roles over time. It keeps everyone involved.
That's so important. Accountability is built in, too. You can have both students put their initials next to the pair answer or submit a quick individual reflection afterwards. It's a little check that everyone's contributed, not just the more confident ones.
When it comes to the share phase, I think a lot of teachers worry about it taking too long or becoming chaotic. But there are ways to keep it focused, aren't there?
Definitely. Instead of always asking for volunteers, you can cold call pairs randomly or strategically. And I like the one-sentence share rule, it keeps things concise and manageable. Plus, recording answers on the board or in OneNote as you go means you can annotate and highlight key points live.
That's a great point. And having both the student answer and the teacher's model solution visible side by side helps students compare their thinking and identify misconceptions.
It also makes for a really efficient formative assessment. You can use a simple 0-2 scale for content accuracy and clarity, and keep a running log of common errors to revisit in the next lesson.
Let's talk about when to use TPS. It's not just for the end of a lesson, is it?
No, not at all. It's brilliant for activating prior knowledge after homework, checking conceptual understanding, or scaffolding more complex problem solving. I often use it as a quick formative check, especially because pairs are so easy to organize with minimal disruption.
And you can adapt the structure depending on your lesson. For vocabulary practice, for example, you might get students to each pick a target word, write a one-line definition and example, then pair up to agree on the clearest version to share.
I've done that. I also like to have fast finishers work on antonyms or collocations, while supporting students who are struggling with sentence frames or picture prompts. Differentiation fits really naturally into the routine.
For maths, especially combinatorics, you could have students list all possible three-letter orderings for a set of letters, compare with a partner, and then share their reasoning and method with the class. It's a great way to make abstract multiplication rules concrete.
And you can stretch students by asking, if repetition is allowed, how does the count change? Or challenge them to compare permutations and combinations. For those who need more support, coloured counters or guided checklists can help.
I think what's really clever is how TPS can morph into so many variants. There's Think Pair, write if you want written evidence, Think Pair, switch where students teach their partner's solution to another pair, or even Think Pair, square for merging multiple approaches.
Or for bigger classes or more complex ideas, you can use Snowball, where pairs join into groups of 4 or 8, gradually building a composite solution. And for structured peer feedback, the fishbowl or aquarium variant is excellent. Inner circle discusses while the outer observes and prepares feedback.
I like the carousel or poster walk for comparing multiple pair solutions. Pairs create a poster, and the rest of the class rotates, adding comments. It's interactive and gets everyone moving.
And don't forget quick pair rotation for daily warm-ups or social skills. Pair work routines like these need practice, but the payoff is huge in terms of engagement and depth of understanding.
A lot of success comes down to practical classroom workflow. Having your OneNote pages set up in advance, a visible timer, and simple roles makes a big difference. And if you run out of time, you can always post pair answers for asynchronous review and revisit them next lesson.
Exactly. And always end with a concise teacher synthesis. Link pair ideas to the model solution, highlight key concepts, and collect pair work into OneNote for homework review or formative assessment. It makes the learning visible and gives you artifacts to refer back to.
And a quick tip, try to revisit TPS at least 4 times early in the unit. The more students practice, the more fluent and effective they become. Keep those model solutions and pair answers visible so students can see how their thinking evolves.
That's a really important point. TPS is low cost but high impact, and once you and your students get the hang of it, it becomes second nature. The variants keep things fresh and adaptable to any subject.
Well, that's all. Thanks for joining us as we explored Think, Pair, Share and its many classroom applications.
Thanks, everyone. And remember, next time you're planning a lesson, think about how you could incorporate TPS or one of its variants. It might just transform your classroom dialogue.